Good morning. I'd like to take you through some of the research our group has done on mosquito repellency as part of a collaboration with the laboratories of Dr. Larry Bartholomew and Bartholomew and Dr. Jun Wei Zhu at Iowa State University. To start, much of the work that we've done previously has been looking at the repellent activities of extracts from the catnip plant and the Osage orange fruit, which is also known as the hedge apple, and a lot of the activities are related to these compounds. You see down here, out of the catnip essential oil, we found ZE and EZ metallactone isomers, the ZE being the dominant, the most prevalent isomer in the catnip essential oil. And then out of the Osage orange essential oil blend, we found elemol, being one of the major components out of there. That is more of a complex blend, though. But those are some of the chemicals we've been looking at. And traditionally in our lab, we do testing with a lot of different insects, American cockroach, maize weevil, common housefly, and German cockroach also. And these reports have been documented previously in the literature. Should also point out that Dr. Eisner's paper down there points out repellent activities of catnip essential oil to at least 13 different families of insects. So from this point, we wanted to move on to looking at mosquito repellency, seeing if any of these essential oils or extracts from these plants have activity against mosquito repellents. And this slide shows somewhat where we've been, where we are, and where we're going in terms of insect repellents, mosquito repellents. Dimethyl phthalate was an early mosquito repellent used before the Second World War, and then DEET is the gold standard out now, came out around 1953. And the bay repel is a newer mosquito repellent, and citronelle is a common botanical repellent that you can find around, commonly used. So in our testing, we've used a static air system, which you can see pictured over here, and all of our testing has been done under stabilized conditions, so temperature controlled and constant lighting in a fixed environment. And we've done a lot of studies with different mosquitoes and species. The ones that I'm going to discuss today, the northern house mosquito and the yellow fever mosquito, were appearing in these data sets. However, the majority of the data will be on the northern house mosquito. In our testing, we have two basic stages. First, we screen a variety of different chemicals or essential oil blends to look for repellent activity, then move on to assess residual effects in more detailed studies. The background for our screening test, you can see the basic design down here. What we do is typically apply a treatment down to one side of the static air system, which is a 2 foot long glass cylinder, and then introduce a population of mosquitoes into this chamber, close the system, and then record observations at these different time points. We've done studies up to 6 hours, looking at different time points over those different intervals, looking at how many mosquitoes are within these four quadrants dispersed throughout the tube. The measurements that we get from these observations are somewhat representative of spatial repellency and contact repellency effects. The spatial repellency measurements, we use a percentage repellency value to capture this, calculated by the equation up there, which is really measuring how many mosquitoes will move at least 1 foot away from a treated surface. The contact repellency measurement is defined as 100% avoidance of the treated surface. So over that 3 hour period, say we're looking at, we're evaluating repellent, we're looking at how many mosquitoes will come in contact with that surface. The residual repellency studies are very similar to the screening test, only we will treat a filter paper inside that we typically put inside one of these repellency chambers, and then first age that paper inside a fume hood. So these papers have not been kept in a static air environment for 3 hours. These ones have been aged and allowed to be exposed to some kind of stress there. And then we analyze this data, looking for trends over time to see if those chemicals are volatilizing, coming off those filter papers and such. So here are some of the results from the screening test. And we're looking at spatial repellency measurements. So and orient yourself on this graph, there are percentage repellency values over on this side, some different treatments that we've looked at in the past, and then the p-values are comparisons to the control. So all of them did yield significant repellent effects in our assay. Catnip essential oil typically shows very high spatial repellency values, followed by Elemol and then Osage orange essential oil and heat coming up a little bit lower than those. Looking at the contact repellency data, you see right away that Elemol and DEET have very high levels of significance. And what that represents in our assay, again, is over a three-hour period, not a single mosquito will come in contact with those filter papers. Whereas with the catnip essential oil, we have in this case a significant value yielding some contact repellency, but that is not always a consistent response, and I'll explain why in a little bit. Osage orange essential oil does not show significant contact repellency effects. So looking at the residual effects, so again, these are aged filter papers that we're evaluating inside these chambers now. Looking at catnip essential oil, Elemol, and DEET, we see that the repellency values are consistent for the Elemol and DEET treatments over time as these filter papers are aged. However, when we look at catnip essential oil, there's a significant decrease at those concentrations that we've examined. So we are seeing these repellent effects decrease as the catnip essential oil is left out or aged in the steam hood. So now looking at some of the results with a different mosquito species, yellow fever mosquito Aedes aegypti, I'd like to show you some of the results in a different fashion to help visualize some of the data. And to orient yourself, this you can do it without advancing the slide. There you go. You would imagine the chamber down here, the four different quadrants of the static air apparatus down here, and we usually apply the insect repellent to one side of that chamber, always on that quadrant four over there. And then you can look at how the mosquitoes distribute within the chamber by looking at these bar graphs over time. As we see, when we apply citronellal to one of these systems, there is a very pronounced response at first, at the first time interval. We see that mosquitoes will move very far away from this treated surface. However, after the first time point, they come back, and they're not as sensitive to it after that. The effect is different than what we see with DEET. DEET, we don't see as many mosquitoes move away from those treated surfaces, but the same amount do consistently avoid within a smaller space away from that treated surface. That effect is very similar to what we've seen with Elemol, where mosquitoes will move away from that first quadrant, but they will not move as far away, all the way over into quadrant one or quadrant two, say. Very similar pattern to what we're seeing with DEET. So to summarize some of these results, catnip essential oil, we're seeing very high levels of spatial repellency and minimal levels of contact repellency. With Elemol, we're seeing the second highest set of spatial repellency values, but very high significant contact repellency. So Elemol seems to be unique in this way. DEET is also significantly repellent, but we're not seeing as much spatial repellency with those treatments, but very high levels of contact repellency. The residual results are showing us that, down here, ultimately the main conclusion we're coming from these studies is that catnip essential oil repellency does decrease as you age it, as those treated surfaces are left out and exposed to the air. This did not happen with the Elemol or the DEET treatments that we were looking at. And overall, Elemol and DEET did show very good levels of residual repellency in our assay. We did see that filter papers that were aged up to 6 hours did show some repellency effects. So what are the new directions we're going in? We're looking at some new essential oils. We're evaluating mixtures of some of these essential oils, trying to combine spatial and contact repellents to see if we can get the best of both worlds there. And then structure activity, looking at some of the individual compounds out of these essential oils and looking for structural characteristics that are important there. Some of the new essential oils we've been working with, amaryllis, balsamifera, this is also commonly referred to as West Indian sandalwood, and then siamwood is another one that we've been looking at recently. I'll show you some of these results quickly. In this table we see both spatial repellency results represented by those percentage repellency values, and also contact repellency values. And we're seeing that catnip essential oil, when we combine it with Elemol or with Amyris oil, we're seeing very good levels of both facial and contact repellency. Similar to what we're seeing with the Siam wood studies, in this case we did have a higher level of a higher concentration, but we are seeing very good levels of both contact and facial repellency from these mixtures. Also, we've done studies with measuring the volatiles within the static air chambers, looking to see if those support our original studies with behavioral effects, and they are, so I don't have time to talk about that today. And this is leading into our structure activity work. You can see a lot of these major components out of the essential oils we're looking at now do have some structural similarities, so we're starting to look at that now. And with that, I'd be happy to take any questions and thank other people that are involved with this.
Do you have any questions?
Well, with our studies, we haven't been looking at a mechanism, no. There are other studies that are going on looking at how repellents can, more specifically, how they do affect insect behavior, and I am not aware of any very strong results of looking at how these particular chemicals affect insect behavior. Well, that's a good question, because a lot of these essential oils and such really haven't been evaluated for that. Elemol, one of the compounds we have looked at, is used in perfumery. So some of them do show up in other products. But I really haven't seen much mammalian toxicity data on these.